You know, let the rest of these guys lie. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, this is it for me. I'm going out, man. Well, I look around the radio dial at afternoons in Los Angeles, and it's so ripe to be dominated that I can't wait to start. I can't wait for Monday to get here because there's nothing on the air between 4 and 7, 3 and 7 in this town. It's pathetic. There are a lot of people who've talked themselves into believing that they've got radio shows. We do radio theater. We do groundbreaking and creative radio. And come Monday in afternoon drive, people are actually going to have something to listen to and to enjoy and laugh at as opposed to the rest of these lightweights. And so we're looking forward to it. And then you guys can continue. Absolutely. So, and I've whipped that guy's ass like a rented mule since I got into town. His positioning to Gary Lycan notwithstanding. So, there you go, babe. Turn him gay.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-5201-KFI, and 5201-KFI outside of Orange County. We're actually in L.A., outside of Orange County. It's Phil Hendry Show, and we're going to, as I mentioned to Corral, and as Corral mentioned to me, and as we've been discussing, take over the afternoon slot starting Monday. And I know that I'm a homophobe and all kinds of nasty things probably will be said about me or that the radio station KFI is homophobic. All of this is, it's very interesting because most of this stuff is just chit chat inside the radio business and nobody really pays any attention to it. We got a lot of lightweights sounding off. We got a lot of real, real lightweight radio people weighing in on what this means. Well, what it means is it's a good move because our show happens to be one of the funniest in the history of radio in this town, and it should be on an afternoon drive. And it is one of the most creative, and we're very proud of the things that we're able to present night after night after night. And the fact is, we deserve a much, much larger cumulative audience than the one that we've been able to enjoy at night. We're going to take advantage of that. We're going to come on an afternoon drive, and we're going to give people driving home something to laugh at, something to enjoy, have a couple of laughs, go home, and maybe not be so pissed off. That's what it's all about. And that's what our show has always been about, entertaining people. And why can't people in afternoons have that as opposed to just at night or in the morning? Now, you know, I said this, somebody wanted a quote from me, and I gave it to him. I said, I'm very happy to be introducing the first humor-driven radio show to Afternoon Drive in L.A. in years. Years. Who's the last guy? Gary Owens? That's the last time there was an afternoon drive show on in Los Angeles that was geared specifically toward laughs. Gary Owens. Do you know how long ago that was? Let's try almost 30 years. I mean, I'm talking about real personality-driven radio. I'm not talking about some jive ass playing me. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I'm saying myself, but I'm talking about, we're not trying to play at anything other than entertaining people. We are not informing anybody. We never have. We never will. We don't do it well, and I wouldn't want to do it, even if I did do it well. We're just going to try to give people something to hear that's going to be funny, entertaining, theatrical, something that they deserve to hear after getting off of a long day of work, working their ass off at their job, flipping on the radio, listening to some guy skating through his afternoon. I don't think this is what they want to hear. They want to hear a guy putting a little bit of work into what he does because they just got off the air, you know, just got off of their gig doing that thing. So that's what we're going to do. And that starts on Monday. And as far as Corral and Andrew are concerned, I have publicly supported them, privately supported them. They're nice men. They're going to be big stars. They do their show. They work very hard at what they do. I think they've got great potential. I've said this about a lot of people. It's funny, you know, people can misconstrue and completely take your words and twist them to mean something completely different. You know, I've publicly critiqued other personalities on our radio station, on KFI. Sometimes it hasn't been the most flattering commentary. I don't play this, let's rap about the competing personalities and talk about how much their shows suck, because you spend a half hour doing that, you're still left with your own show, and what is it that you're doing? What kind of material you're presenting? If you're going to critique somebody else, brother, you better have something, you better be coming with some heat yourself. Now, we just got the word from the great Michelle Cube that Carell and Andrew will be 7 to 9, and Tim and Neil will be 9 until 6 a.m. All right. They're going to be doing a full 9 hours. No, Tim and Neil are 9 to midnight. We've just received the word. So these cats are doing, so I thought they were going to do a full 3, if you'll pardon the expression. 7 to 9, Tim and Neil, 9 to midnight. That is the update. And I'll tell you something else. You want to know why we're going to be doing afternoons more than anything else? The radio station took a look at our performance at night and recognized that for 3.5 years, by and large, for the most part, yes, there was a fluke book here or there, which my competition couldn't wait to scream from the rooftops. But we have, for the most part, and I mean like 99% of the time, beaten everybody at night. No contest. That's why we're going to be doing our thing in the afternoon starting on Monday, 4 to 7.
Phil Hendry Show coming down the line in 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Starting Monday, we're moving our show to an earlier time, 4 to 7 Pacific, and it'll be on 7 to 10 Eastern. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means, first of all, on the West Coast, we will be doing afternoon drive, or a portion of afternoon drive. On the East Coast, we'll be moving up to an earlier portion of the evening. I know a lot of people who carry the show, many of our affiliates, are going to be taking a refeed and tape delaying that, and I understand that, and that's fine for the short term. Because eventually we want everybody up to speed carrying the show live. This show is not, as I've said many times, and I don't want to, you know, to beat the dead horse, but I think I will. This show is not a refeed like one uses some of those mutual shows. You know, like, well, we need a little air. We need some filler between 3 and 5 in the morning on Sunday. Let's throw Hendry in there. We don't play that. Now, what you can do is run the show live, then take a refeed and run it taped any other time of the day that you'd like. But for stations opting not to run this show live at any time, it's going to be a challenge for us to have a long-term relationship. Let me put it that way. Because I will not allow that for the long term. All I'm saying is that eventually we want everybody up to speed, running the show live, 7 to 10 Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific. I'm not, you know, you can do whatever you want with your radio station. Believe me, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm just telling you what's best for our show. And ultimately, what is best for your station, because running this show live is absolutely best for everybody concerned. However, that having been said, I know that we're going to start off with a core of stations running this live next week. I don't know how many there's going to be. Maybe 20, if we're lucky. How many?
Like 15.
15 or 20?
Yeah.
So in other words, when I said 20, Craig, you said, oh, okay, we'll make it 20. It's actually 15. All right. That's fine. And then gradually, as we work our way into this process, and I know that there are some stations coming on board in some of the larger markets that we're going to be doing a tape refeed for. And that's understood, and that's fine. But I'm just simply saying, eventually, we want everybody running this thing live. Or, if that is not your cup of tea, and I certainly understand that, and I appreciate that, we need to move to some other situation. We need to move to some other station in that market. But eventually, hopefully, if all things go according to plan, this baby is on absolutely live. So that starts on Monday. We're very happy about that. And it probably doesn't mean much to you guys right now, so I won't, you know, I'm not going to go into a great deal of gloating or a great deal of discussion about it, other than to just say we're very happy that we get to get off the air and still go home and have dinner with our families, at least out here in California. Someplace else, I don't know exactly how it would work. I guess if I said that I'm on earlier on the East Coast, that would mean I'd be getting off at 10 instead of 1. But it's just, it's going to be a nice thing. It'll be a nice thing to sort of have a barbecue every now and again and to kick it next to my new $100,000, I think it's $100,000 to $150,000 pool that I can't afford, and just generally pretend like I know what I'm doing for the short term. Because who knows how long it's going to last. Anyway, thank you for putting up with the fact that we haven't, I say we, I haven't been here intermittently the last week and a half. I've had laryngitis. And one of the reasons why I had laryngitis last week and the early part of this week is because, as you know, I'd been spending long hours on the phone screaming into a receiver at various and sundry representatives of the Sears department stores. I'd love to recreate it for you, but all it would serve to do is probably just sever what's left of my vocal cords. I'd just start spitting up blood, you know. Because not only did the washing machine flood, but the most recent chapter in this exciting saga, the dryer isn't drying clothes now. So what my wife did, now I'm starting to be upset with my wife. See, it's no longer I'm not upset with Sears. Now it's like, Maria, what are you doing? Why are you shopping there? She went out and bought the most expensive washing machine that Sears sells. It's a Whirlpool. What has been my association with Whirlpool? Well, I got off the phone today with their legal department, telling them that there's been extensive damage to my home, and they telling me to go out and get... They're playing ball. Whirlpool's been very, very good about it. They've been right there. So, well, go out, get estimates. We'll see what we can do. But now I've got this the thing with my wife's... What did you even buy these machines for? I can't even believe the luck that we've had. Ever since I moved into this house 2 weeks ago... This coming Thursday, it has been nothing but one problem after the next. It has been a slow, arduous, grating process. Nothing about moving into this house has been easy. Nothing has worked. Toilets have backed up. Yes, I'm a big guy, but should every toilet I ever sat on in my life back up? How about the new ones in my house? Lights haven't worked. Heating hasn't worked. Dishwashers haven't been wired properly. And then if it ain't the house's problem, then it's the dishwasher itself, this thing, is, or the clothes washer itself, this thing's backing up. Guy can't find my house. There's a little sign out there with your address on it. It's supposed to be lit up. It ain't lit up. It's not a big thing. This is one of those things I'd like to see my little address sign lit up. Just so I can, when I come home and I go, look at that. Mine's lit up just like every other guy on the street. I don't live in a haunted house. Everybody else, they live in a house. I live in a haunted house. There's no lights on when I get home. Just little things, window coverings. I have a bathroom, and I have to walk around in it nude. In other words, the neighbors have to look. There's nothing I can do. I want to ask you a question. I got to go out and get window coverings, but anybody who's ever bought a new home, they know it takes a while to have the guy come in, size it up, and then go get new window coverings. Now, am I going to be hanging sheets? Well, how do I put this delicately? I don't live... You know, in other words, it's not $500 cracker box a month with the nice trailer section over here. And if you're lucky, you get a little walk up upstairs. Man, you know, I don't live on the beach at Oxnard. I can't hang a sheet in that window. I'm going to have people setting fire to the house. I thought about hanging a Confederate flag. What do you think about that? What would you rather see, a Confederate flag hanging in my window or me walking around nude? I think that's a toss up. Some people rather see me nude than see a Confederate flag hanging in my window, especially in this neighborhood. But the point is, there are no window coverings, so I got no choice. I got to go over and shave and brush my teeth and do the normal things. The sink is right next to a huge window, floor to ceiling, and there I am, stark raving naked. Now you say, why don't you cover yourself up, Phil? No, I don't feel like it. Ever hear of a robe? Yeah, I've heard of a robe. And I eschew the use of it. So you know, it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it hasn't ended yet. So now this dryer ain't drying any clothes. And my in-laws are in, and my father-in-law's this guy from Chicago. He's like, oh, you know, I'll tell you something, Phil, that thing, he talks kind of like that, you know. God damn, Phil, what's going on anyway with your house? Well, I don't know, Al, the whole thing is going to hell in a handcart. You better believe it. If I were you, I'd call these sons of bitches up. Get them over here. I said, well, I don't know what to do. Hell, I've been in the insurance game my whole damn life. They'll screw you. Well, it looks like they're going to screw me this time. Well, you know what you do? You get them for everything, the drywall, the wallpaper, the tack board, the padding, the carpeting, the bed, the house, if you have to. Oh, yeah. When I worked for State Farm, we'd cut them a check, $2,000. You use it right away. Have you got any money from these sons of bitches? No, man, I ain't got no jack yet for them. I'm out $800 because it cost me that much. So, well, you better get it. The hell'd my daughter marry anyway? Are you some kind of a man? Or are you going to stand there all nude and everything? Put on a robe, for Christ's sake. Well, what are you doing in my bathroom? Good question. So that's it. That's what's been going on in my house. How about yours? Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Show at 1-800-449-8686. So anyway, on Monday we start doing afternoons Pacific time, 4 to 7, and on the East Coast it'll be 7 to 10, and Central, you know, all the stuff in between, 6 to 9, 5 to 8, something like that. That begins on Monday, whether you like it or not. And also a very, very heartfelt thank you to you guys. You pushed us over the 100 grand mark with the sale of our Best of the Phil Hendry Show CDs. $100,925. It took us 5 weeks to make $500. That's a great thing. Well, anyway, Thursday night, the night after tomorrow night. Oh, God. This show's going to afternoons. Thursday night, the night after tomorrow night. Why don't I just drink before I come on the air? I'd be far more understandable, is it the word? Far, far more, what's the articulate? Instead of pumping down that NyQuil before I walk in.
Thursday night, which is a night, the other night, wait a minute, we'll hold on for a minute.
That's the one format that hasn't been tried. The one format out of all that has not been tried yet, there's talk radio, but then there's drunk stone talk radio. Nobody's tried that yet. Where all of the hosts are allowed to, like, pop a cap of, like, morphine or something before they walk in and just, yeah, let's talk about, I don't know, whatever the Christ. What do you think? What a nutty place, huh? This is out of sight. You could do talk radio and talk about the issues of the day, have the guy come in and discuss whether there's going to be a sewer system put in the North County or the bond issue to make sure that, you know, cats are spayed properly, not with anesthesia necessarily, but spayed properly nonetheless. And you could do all of that after the guy mainlines like a dime bag. Just an eight ball. Now, K-Talk presents Talk with an Attitude. All of our hosts are high on narcotics. Hi, tonight, a guy by the name of Bob's going to be here or something. I don't know. Jesus. And he's going to, whatever. Coming up next is going to be Rudy Raposo. Rudy does his show after 6 quarts of malt liquor. Okay, Rudy?
Thanks a lot. Well, I can't. Signs of pictures, I can't. Okay, go ahead. Let's do our crossover, okay?
Yeah, there's stuff growing out of your head, man. And there's colors and crap and everything.
What? What are you talking about?
I think weirder than a drunk and a stoner getting together, there's just no common ground, is there? I don't care what kind of smack, weed, I don't care what it is. There's no common ground between them and the alcohol user. That's a whole different kind of high. It's not a psychotropic. I don't know what it is. It's not a sedative hypnotic. It's an antidepressant is what alcohol is, ultimately. is a depressant, but it's sort of an antidepressant. So you've got the guy who's, there's things growing out of your head.
Well, you sound like some kind of an asshole. How you talk me?
Okay. Rudy, who you got on your show tonight?
Oh, I got a guy I was going to talk about. Some bull crap about how to give him a Christ. Sorry.
So that's what we got to do. And, you know, you run through hosts like, you know, 15 of them in a week. Everybody's in rehab like once a month. So you got to rotate your hosts. You keep them on staff, but you don't have to pay them that much because you let them work, you know, you let them work rat ass. So that's got to be worth something. If you were allowed to work stoned, how much is that worth a year? That's probably half your paycheck. I'd probably take a pay cut of 50% if I could be guaranteed I could walk in here high on some narcotic, not get arrested for it, and not eventually wind up in rehab for it. You think I... No, okay. I'm thinking of walking into Craig's office later. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. So, thank you very much. After that big rap about drug use, let me just say thanks for your donations to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids, the kind of people who are trying to keep kids off of drugs. And we're up over $100,000. We're actually at $101,000. And on Thursday night, we are going to have a radiothon. And these are fun. I enjoy them. The generosity of our audience is allowed to be expressed even more so because, you know, our CD is only available online at our website. But when we have our radiothon, you can call a number and you can order it over the phone. And we really are able to raise a lot of money and make, I hope, a lot of our listeners happy because then they're able to get a hold of our CD. So on Thursday night, we're going to do our radiothon. And that will be beginning at 7 o'clock Pacific and 10 o'clock Eastern. And we'll raise money and we'll do our thing. And hopefully you guys will be able to, you know, access the CD, the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 1999 CD, Communism is Neat, when before you were not able to. So that's Thursday night, the beginning of our show, going all 3 hours. Last radiothon we had, we raised like 12 G's. Pretty good. We got all kinds of people answering the phone. Some people from my friend's place are going to come over, Elizabeth and everybody from over there. They've been great. Got Andrea Garcia over at KFI in Los Angeles. She set up a bank of people to answer telephones, and we'll raise some more bread for my friend's place, and we'll just keep on keeping on toward the summer months, and hopefully we'll break our record of last year, which is $175,000. So that's coming up Thursday night, and it all starts at 7 here on the Phil Hendry Show. All right, so just a little comment about the gas prices, if you don't mind, because I went to dinner on Saturday night, and as we were leaving the restaurant, I saw $2.09. That's the first time in the history of my life that I've ever seen $2 for a gallon of gas. Is that true? So that's a milestone of some kind. See, Y2K, forget it. It went over $2 a gallon. Now I do believe the world's ending. Now I know. Because I remember when it went over $1 a gallon. That's how old and decrepit and tired and depressed and ready for Jack Kevorkian I am. I remember when it went over $1 a gallon. And I remember when Nixon was on TV, and that's how really old I am, because I remember Nixon on TV wiping the sweat from his upper lip and going, oh, we won't have gas much more than 50 cents a gallon, or I'm nude. My clothes come off in the Rose Garden. He threatened to strip in the Rose Garden if gas went over 50 cents a gallon. So now, as you know, it's up around $1.99. Now it's over $2, $2.09. Now here's my question. See, I wasn't a big Gulf War fan, but I went along with the program. Because there's some things you can't fight, some tides you can't swim against. One of those tides contemporaneously was this Gulf War, which I didn't see really, I didn't quite get it. I understand that, you know, okay, we got to kick them out of Kuwait. I got that. But I didn't hear a whole lot of people. You know, in other words, these were normally Americans who'd say, you got some damn sheet wearing moving in next door to me? Guy's skin looks like a cat turd. I don't want that. Next thing you know, it's like, yeah, freedom for Kuwait. So I didn't get that. But okay, we went along with it. But I thought after we won that, the gas thing was set. Didn't you? Come on, you guys. Be honest with me. Didn't you think... Oh, we got to take a break? Okay. Well, here's my question for... Didn't you think after we won that Gulf deal, the gasoline deal was set? No more big price hikes? Somebody's screwing us. Somebody is going back on their end of the deal. Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And I'm serious about this. At least I could be very naive. I guess I am. But I thought that the whole reason why we fought the Gulf War is so we wouldn't have to go through any more of this gas crunch, gas price, gas hike, jive, gas stuff no more. Isn't that what the whole trip was? We went over there to the Gulf. We kicked ass. We took a few names. We laid down the law. We said, here we are. What are you going to do about it? Nothing they could do about it. And we're sitting, these jackasses are raising the price again. I thought the whole reason why we, see, that would the only be the only reason why I would want to go down there anyway. Well, yes, I do believe in fighting for freedom. But first things first, I got a pool, I got an SUV I got to put gas in. I don't care if they're pulling some guy's fingernails out in a cell underneath Tehran someplace. I got to get an SUV with gas in it. I got to get the kids over to volleyball practice. Then we'll talk about the Savak and their blowtorch toilets. We fought this whole freaking war to run the roost down there, brother. And now they're coming back and telling me OPEC has decided to. Isn't that what's going on? Are they limiting production so they can jack that price? I think that's it. Don't tell me it's a refinery fire because nobody's buying that. This has got to be some OPEC maneuver, and they're very good at it. These guys, don't you love seeing those cats going into those meetings? They're always meeting in some place like some sleek marble interiored hotel somewhere, some gorgeous-looking Pan Pacific auditorium or something, and they all got the headdress on. Some guy's wearing a bed sheet. Another guy walking around with that Navy-issue hat looking like, you know, a Captain Hershey bar with some freaking missile off of his head. Who the freak? I don't know where they buy their uniforms. But one guy's got on a bed sheet. Another guy's got on one of them Captain Hershey bar hats. Another guy's wearing one of them Anwar Sadat deals. No, not Sadat. Who's the other guy? Yasser Arafat. That Bedouin bit. What? Get out of here, man. You ain't slept in a tent since you were in Boy Scouts. Then another guy's got a Napoleon hat. And all of these guys are running the freaking OPEC game. Some guy with a Napoleon hat, his hand in his coat. Some chick looking like Josephine trailing behind with a dog. Little guy walking around, man, with those riding pants going, Octoon, Octoon. And these guys are telling me, I'm paying $2.60 a gallon at Big Sur, California. $2.60 a gallon. But that's not all. I just heard $3.15 in Beverly Hills. Full service. Full service premium, $3.15. So all bets are off. The bloom is off the rose. And we've joined the rest of the world in terms of how much we're going to pay for our gasoline. And that whole Gulf War thing, which is the only reason why anybody gave a crap about it, was to make sure that we wouldn't have to deal with this gasoline thing. What's up with that? I guess there's only so far you can really muscle somebody. You know what I'm saying? You can't, you know, times have changed. You can't just bluster and beat your chest and say, well, if you don't, we're going to nuke you. Because if we nuke them, then we got no oil, man. What are we going to nuke? They set fire to those Kuwaiti oil fields, and I don't think the price of gasoline went up more than maybe 20 cents when they did that. You know, all those, remember those oil fields were just burning out of control? Never once did it really affect the price of gasoline because we knew which side of the bread the butter was on. The U.S. and all of these, the coalition powers, we'd won. Yavol. And a new day had dawned. Cheap gas. Not so, man, because as it turns out, we're now in the midst of another extreme gas hike. And that's okay. Most people will pay the price. You can't do anything about it, so forget it. Gas boycott. That was a hot one last summer, wasn't it? I don't know what happened in the rest of the country. Out here in California, the price of gasoline went up about a quarter a gallon, and these clowns were going to run a gas boycott. What was it, back in May? Don't buy gas? Hey, why don't you pull that now? Let's see how much good that has. What kind of effect that has, huh? Let's do a gas boycott and drop that price from $3.15 a gallon all the way down to $3.05. Well, I just won't pay it. You know what? You're going to not only pay it, you're going to smile while you pay it too, Charlie, because they got you by them short ones, and I think they're a little curly too. A whole handful of chest hair. Jeez. You want to see a whole country emasculated, brought to its knees. You want to know really where's, you know, who's wearing the pants and who is holding the riding crop in this family, just go ahead and start raising the price of gas. We'll squeal, man, like there's no tomorrow, like Ned Beatty on speed, and we'll pay it, and we'll smile while we're doing it, too. That's the whole thing. That's the whole gasoline thing. So that's why I thought we'd fought that Gulf War, but I guess not. So what I got here, what do we got? $2.60. My man Jeff was up in Big Sur, how long ago? 8 months? 8 months? 8 months ago, he's up the coast of California, $2.60 a gallon. Some guy comes wheedling out of the general store wearing one of those John Deere hats going, howdy to you. Beautiful day for a drive, ain't it? What's with the 260? Well, you know where you can get a cheaper partner? You're more than welcome. Well, Jesus H, man. Where you all from? Los Angeles? Sounds like a good place to go back to. 260? Well, you blood-sucking, stinking old man, you fool! Want to go try some of the new Pippin apples while you're here? Mister, I don't like that kind of talk around here. You know the shotgun? Do we have our, Well, you stinking, blood-sucking. Yeah, sure, 260 sounds fair. All right, we got 260 Big Sur. We just recently found out. Now, where'd you get this $3.15 in Beverly Hills? Now, that's full service premium. I ain't paying no $3.15. Do you take a check? Caller called up and said $3.15 in Beverly Hills, and that's for full service premium. Anybody got a price to top that? That's it for me. I saw $2.09 down in Malibu on Saturday night across from Pepperdine. Mobile station. No, excuse me, Union 76. And it was, I'm not complaining. What are you going to do? And just in time for the SUV driving season. Oh, yes. Aren't we just glad we went out and bought our wives or husbands those things? Fill up that SUV. Guy sitting behind you with a motorcycle going, yeah, that's it, man. Go ahead, take all the gas, you swine. God, am I going to feel guilty now. Thank God there's a whole lot of them out there. I'm going to pull in, and I'm going to pump 58,000 gallons into that big, fat, gas-hogging pig that I bought for my wife. How'd you like to see a guy pulling in with an SUV, motorcycle, towing a motorcycle and two jet skis? Fill her up! Not. So anyway, that's the trip with the gasoline. But you see how you know, you see what I'm talking about? Next time you want to run around and tie some yellow ribbons around the old oak tree, next time you want to pull that crap, God, how long ago? It's been 10 years? It's been almost 10 years since that Gulf War, and everybody was running around yanking themselves with their yellow ribbons, support the troops, a whole lot of BS. And the upshot in this thing was that we were going to finally, once and for all, show OPEC who was boss. Well, you've been reading the newspaper. I don't read the newspaper. I don't get the LA Times where I live. They won't deliver where I live. They mail it to me where I live, okay? So what are they saying? Is the reason the price is going up what? Because they're cutting production. Because they want the price to go up. Because it's been 20 years since the last big production cut. And once they stabilize the prices at, let's say, oh, maybe $4.50 a gallon, then they'll open up the spigots again. It's tough to wean yourself off of something. Huh? All you people out there who said, well, why don't you quit smoking? It's bad for you. And well, why don't you quit driving? That's bad for you. Tough, isn't it? At least I was only smoking like two packs a day, so that's like $9 a day tops, $4.50. You fill up your gas tank, that's a pack of cigarettes for every gallon you put in your gas tank. Put in 30 gallons of gasoline into some big, fat pig of an SUV, some big, fat, long pig of an SUV with a woman who's about 5'2", barely reaches the steering wheel. She's got that little thin yoga body on her. She's doing that whole yoga thing now after soccer. And she's got the two kids. She's got Buffy and she's got Billy. And she's got a freaking half track with a machine gun on. What is that about? You see these people that get like a 14,000 square foot house. It's just me and my husband and, you know, asswipe. And the cat. You see them. I see them at the kids' school. They have the big excursions, or what's the new one, the Chevy excursion? And they have the big Suburbans, and they have the big fat Lexus jobs, man, and those ugly ass Mercedes SUVs. Hey, you know what, man? If they were giving those away, I wouldn't drive one. I don't give a crap if they are okay on a rollover test. Rollover this. And they pull into those things, and there's the woman, she weighs about 90 pounds, and she's got to go off to her karate class, and she's got her one kid. So she's taking her kid to school in a freaking troop transport. Hey, you want to know why Germany lost the war? They ran out of gas. They had the biggest-ass tanks you ever saw. Germans had a thing called a Tiger. It was huge. It could blow one of our American tanks out of the water. One shot, goodbye. The whole thing's gone. And we had to maneuver around behind a German tank and get an ass shot on the thing. The weakest part of the German tank was the ass side of that thing. Well, they were murdering us. They were destroying us. You want to know why they lost? They ran out of gas. Otherwise, they would have won, man. That Battle of the Bulge, they would have taken it all the way back to Normandy. So that's the same thing is happening to America now, 50 years later. We got the big, beautiful, spanking, big-ass half-track cars with our kids, our soccer, our yoga, and our groceries, and no gas. And as they said at the end of World War II, there was a long line of German soldiers marching back to Germany because they had no tank. It's going to be a long line of soccer moms on their way to yoga class on foot. And a whole lot of kids following behind. You know what? If we don't clear this up, you know what's going to happen? There are going to be a whole lot of kids riding their bikes to school. Holy Jesus. Not that. Not bike racks, bikes, butt bags, and exercise? No, I can't have that. It's Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And I have to thank a man by the name of Brett Bain. He works at Hot Boat Magazine. And he sent me something very cool. Not only did he send me the biography of Todd Browning called Dark Carnival, which I've immediately given to young Melissa because I'm reading the Vince Lombardi biography right now, so I can't be bothered. No, seriously, Brett, I want to read it, but I can't because I'm reading Vince Lombardi. So when I get done with that, then I'll read that one. But I gave it to Melissa. She's going to read it. And she didn't even know who Todd Browning was until I told her. She had no clue. What's I know? God, look at the... I never. It looks so delicate when a woman flips you off, doesn't it? You ever seen a guy flips you off? It's like... Guys suck their fingers all the way down, and the flip-off finger is just bare and stark. And but women delicately drag the two fingers down the side. Yeah, that. Well, Mike, you flip off like a chick. No, now, see, Melissa's doing it like a guy. One time this woman, she must have been about a 100-pound model. I was talking to her at a bar or something. It's almost sexy, yeah. And she was like, screw you. And she dropped the finger. It was like China. It was like it was sculpted in China, just up yours. Anyway, Melissa, you can have the book. Read it fast. I'll be done with my Lombardi book very shortly. Why am I reading the Vince Lombardi book? And my wife read it. And it, you know what? It's great. It's fantastic. It's about football and all that crap. Anyway, I want to thank Brett for that. And he sent me a complete compilation of the music of Love, which was a late 60s, early 70s band, supposedly legendary because so many of the bands contemporaneous to them actually would come and watch them perform. Love did songs like 7-7 Is, My Little Red Book, Alone Again, or A House Is Not a Motel, and such great, great tracks as Maybe the People Would Be the Times or Between Clark and Hilldale, and another one called Robert Montgomery. Look, everybody did drugs in those days. Don't single them out. And great lyrics like, when I was a boy, I didn't know if I'd be a man. I'd sit inside a bottle and pretend I was in a can. Stuff like that. Great stuff. Great, great lyrics. Love. So, Brett, thank you very much. And a copy of Hot Boat Magazine, published by Larry Flint, who's also a personal favorite of our great writer and associate producer, Melissa Morgan. She's a big Larry Flint fan. You are such an odd chick. That's why we dig you. We got a woman working on our show as our writer. She is a real chick because she, whatever makes her laugh is the same stuff that makes us laugh. So, in other words, she's a mental case. Larry Flint is her hero. It's great. 1-800-449-8686. So anyway, how about them gas prices, man? Anybody got a higher price than $3.15? We'd like to hear about it. And $2.60 up, Big Sir. I saw $2.09. See, my feeling is, don't necessarily tell me about the prices that are low. You know, where can you get a good gasoline, you know, where can you fill up cheap? I want to know the guy that's really charging the big price. Don't you think that guy is just as deserving as publicity as the guy who's charging the low price? Like, people are going to run over there and pay $3 a gallon. Wow! And all of the radio station promotions, here in Los Angeles, there was one planned for our flagship station, KFI. But, well, I don't want to get into the fact that somebody stole it. I won't say who, but the promotion, originally conceived of by KFI Radio and our program director, David G. Hall, was lifted and given to another radio station by, well, let's just say it was an inside job. Didn't make my PD very happy. But essentially what we do here in L.A. is, you know, give gas away or some bull crap and, you know, pick up the price. Big deal. So this promotion, which we've been doing for years, was lifted and given to this other radio station. And somebody said, you hear about it? Yeah, I saw it all over the news. It was supposed to be ours and somebody else's. So they're, you know, buying people tanks of gas. $3, well, that's a hell of a... $3? Who could afford that? I mean, who would want that? Why would anyone want that? I'm going to find that gas station. I'm going to go in and fill up just to know what it feels like. And I'll tell you, for $3.15, I want that guy not wiping the windshield. I want it licked clean. You know, like with the squeegee? Then he goes back over it with a squeegee. And I want that gasoline. I don't want it just to power my car. I want to be able to drink it. You can either drink it or you can put it in your car. $3.15, that's only fair. Generally, we're getting screwed in California, but I know the rest of the country right now is feeling the pinch of this gas thing. So, and what a great time to be feeling it with the summer months approaching. You know, they say the price is going to go up again because it's the driving season. Well, not this year. Here's one thing we can do is not drive. I don't know that the prices will come down. Gasoline is now the same price as milk, almost the same as, well, how much is a gallon of milk? $3.50, yeah, so take your pick, a gallon of milk or a gallon of gas. What's it going to be? I would rather go driving than feed the kids. How about you? Screaming brats, they don't need milk. Now, there's one thing we don't need to drink is milk. Mucus creating cold and flu season crap. God! Give up that milk and put more gas in your car. Buy soy milk. I drink that all the time. Causes, speaking of gas. But what's a little gas between friends? And it's a lot, but beer is better for you than milk, according to PETA. According to PETA, you should walk around stone, stinking, blind, drunk, rather than drink milk. So I don't drink that stuff. I gave up milk about 4 years ago, and I started drinking soy milk. And I started again when I got married, because there was milk everywhere. You know, when you're a bachelor, you can control your diet. And I gave up milk, I gave up cheese, and I immediately dropped probably about 10 pounds, 15 pounds, because that's pure fat that you're pumping into your body. I don't care if it is low-fat or skim milk. It's still a lot of fat, right? So I'm going along pretty cool. I'm drinking this rice soy crap, and it's not bad. It's like vanilla-flavored. Then I got married, and then I'm surrounded by milk. Because there's 4 kids, and there's cheese, and there's pizza. Because, I don't know whether you know this or not, and you probably do if you're a parent, the main staple of every kid's diet is pizza, Domino's, cheese, extra cheese. And these nutty kids that I live with, it's like, hey, how about some sausage or something on it? Just a change of pace, for crying out loud. No, extra cheese pizza. That's all we eat. And we want an extra large with double cheese. Cheese pizza. That's all you guys eat. What about sausage? What about pepperoni? What about pepper? I mean, they'll cry. They'll cry. Here's a pizza, and it's got a little sausage on it. Tears streaming down their face, man. You might as well, like, get into that cattle car and go to Auschwitz. Same thing. Hi, we're going to Auschwitz in a cattle car. Same thing as, I got you a sausage pizza. So as a result, I picked up 40 pounds. 40 big pounds as the result of eating cheese.